Hello and welcome to Honing a Mixing's podcast, Sound Advice, empowering indie artists to create healthy and stable music careers.
That's awesome, man. I love that. And, you know, obviously I know you and I know what a great human you are and the amazing work you do with the people you're coaching for saying, but also just, you know, other people that you are connected to. Every single one of the artists I sent your way for songwriting coaching has talking so highly about you. So again, I'm just super excited to pick your brain a little bit today and yeah, share some of the insights of the songwriting that you can share with the world. And again, we really appreciate it. So yeah, I'd love to start with the question when it comes to like the work list. Do you see a lot of common mistakes or pitfalls that people often fall into when it comes to songwriting and trying to improve it and trying to be creative with it, but also consistent with it? Are there like maybe common grounds that you see in a lot of people where like, all right, these are the, you know, first steps you need to take?
Sure. And actually, funnily enough, Alex Guringas, hey, Alex just joined, got a session with him tomorrow. He's the guy I was talking about, the guy who's the wonder genius from Germany. So in terms of kind of mistakes for songwriters, I try to always think positively too, because I think there's enough criticism already about songwriting. But the thing I see most, which actually happened twice yesterday with clients, is people that have these really important stories in their lives, experiences, often difficult. They try to focus on what they think other people are going to like. So that's a question that I think it's a bit of an issue for me. So if someone has a song that's awesome already and they haven't even finished it yet, they haven't even started in some cases, and they're already thinking, what should it be? What genre should it be? What should it sound like? What words should I use? And I go, hey, let's start from the beginning again. Why don't we work on a song that you love? Very often people will start with something that's a bit rough, right? But that's fine. If you start with something like Gabby did yesterday, you have like four or five sections of different melodies with a contrast. Contrast is huge. You don't have contrast in your lyrics, your rhythms, your melody. That's where you're going to struggle. But Gabby yesterday had this amazing start to an idea. And it's just maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes of scratch vocal. And she was already going, oh, what should it be? What am I expected to do? What kind of genre? I'm like, okay, that is a consideration. Not going to lie, right? There's people I know that say, people that I work with that take care of marketing and social media. But that's when I pass clients on to them. Before that point, I think it's really important that people write what they love. They write a song you're extremely connected to, lyrically, melodically, rhythmically, production wise, you work with people like Julian as well. Focus on that first. Because if, for example, I don't know if you can see my hand on Instagram Live, but say that this position here is what is the greatest song for you, the one you feel most, the one you play endlessly, the one you're really happy to share with people. And then this is what's expected of you in terms of genre and what's happening in the zeitgeist and in the world. I think very often, like a great song that you love is going to be something that others can love as well. If you try and anticipate what others are going to enjoy, you might miss it twice because you might not get what they want to hear. And secondly, you're probably going to miss what you're trying to write about. So very simply, write for yourself, write something that resonates with you. My job is like yesterday, again, I physically worked with a client here, like in the park. There's people walking around us. We were working in the park in LA and she's already so talented. She's already so great at resonating on something that's very emotional. There's very different structures, very non-pop structures. But what I try and focus on working with clients is, what do you want to say? Yeah. How do you want to say it? And if it's a little way from what I think people might accept, I'll push you again and ask you those questions to make sure that you're doing things differently. Hey, so yeah, to help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where you got to start, right? You got to be true to yourself. You got to stay true to yourself. And it's what I'm seeing too when I work with people with production or mixing. It's so easy to fall into this thinking, all right, of what are the people going to like, which is not necessarily lining up with your vision for it, right? And what truly resonates with you. And I think listening to music and trying to pinpoint why I like a specific song and why I don't like a specific song is it basically comes down to that. I think I've realized too, where you can tell when you listen to a song that someone is trying to say something with this, right? Someone is trying to express their truth with this song and not necessarily thought about, all right, you know, how could I make people like this? But they're expressing something, honest about them, and something that resonated with them. And that's what's going to make people like your song. That's, like you said.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Awesome.
And I think it's such an important thing that producers do as well, because you can have a demo. If I work with clients, often they'll end up with, could be a guitar, a piano, or even a kind of vibe check, very basic production. But if their essence, the emotion is there, like those are the artists that I really love. Take a Chris Stapleton, and you take like really heavy music, and take like a Chris Brown, So Sick, Neo, like all the things I grew up on. What I really loved was that I could hear that they cared. I know that sounds silly, because Julie and I work in this industry where it's a lot of analysis, and you have to go like, especially on the podcast, it's like, why do we like this song? What is the tool they use to find people from a logical point of view? But the best productions that Julian would have done, I'm sure the best songs I've ever written, the best performances, they go through the back of the head, like through the feeling as opposed to the logic. So quite a tough job. And Julian does a great job of like adding to what people start off with. But for example, if you're an artist listening to this and you kind of haven't started with Julian, or you haven't worked with me or anyone, what you can do that is within your control is that, how do you write something that you really care about? How do you write something so strong, either lyrically or a moment of melody or a moment of emotion in your recording, even if it's basic, so that someone like Julian, someone like myself, can come on and go, oh, I know exactly what you're trying to say here. Let me help you with our experience or my tools or my production and make more of what you've given us. Whereas sometimes I think if people just anticipate what others think, you end up with quite a logical, cold, not that interesting, to be honest, like song starting idea that makes Julian and I's jobs harder. So I just love what you said. I wanted to add that on top as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's exactly what makes all the processes that come after the songwriting so much more effortless and so much easier. When there's a great written song, where the artist has a clear vision, where that vision really resonates with them, they know what they want to express with the song. Everything afterwards to be done is so much easier for the producer and for the engineers involved to, put into a song, put into instrumentation, put into music. So I think that's definitely the big starting point where people should focus on it first, right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, I know from the people that I've sent to you who work with you on a regular basis, they always talk about your tools that you use for songwriting, and you talk a lot about those too. I would love to hear if there's maybe like a top three or something. I don't know. Maybe the tools that you think are most helpful for people. Could you talk a bit about that and give people out there listening now or later, you know, actual tools in their hands and how they can improve their songwriting now?
For sure. Definitely. And you have sent me so many great clients over the years, like RIA, Emily, Shane D, Ariadne, like some of them are coming off on like over 2 years. So I think shout out to Julian. I think he's been a huge positive experience in my life, because he is an experience. But in terms of tools, the things I always start with, it's called a free writing template. And we all know from the world of business or from the world of writing what journaling is. But that's how I really feel we access the essence that we talked about. And that's not something woo-woo off in the distance. It's literally cram as many words as you can onto a page, forgetting your spelling, forgetting grammar, forgetting any need to be right or anticipate what other people think. Again, like free writing templates, it's 20 minutes, I say. Some people do a lot more, which is great, but 20 minutes of just anything you feel about a certain subject. Mm. Think of it like a ball of dough, like a pizza dough. It's one subject, and you stretch it out as far as you can by doing all this free writing. So it's not necessarily something else. You don't write outside a single subject, but the free writing template is a really great way to focus. Like you might have one sentence in your phone or one something that's happened to you recently. How we get as much information as we can on the paper. It's not very sexy. It's not very cool. But again, that's how you start the process of filling the funnel. I think of songwriting like a creative funnel, where you start with a lot of information slowly over time through creating, criticizing, you get to that finished product. So free writing template is one part of the funnel, but it's such an important part. And even like with Aye or Shane D or Emily or anyone that I've worked with for a long time, sometimes you don't always need the free writing, but very often when we're missing some detail, we're missing like the right kind of lyrics or the right feeling in a song, they either say it to themselves or I'll say it, they're like, oh, we need some free writing here. Like, yeah. Or even with Gabby yesterday, I started working with her. She's awesome. Like, hey, let's just do some free writing, just a mini version for this chorus. Like, what would all the information just for this chorus be? But I've enjoyed how that works. So free writing templates. And again, normally I'll do like a free call with clients and talk about a lot of this, you know, half an hour, because it is quite specific, and I'll show them that structure. So people want to see that they can. That's the start of the process. I'd say the second one would be a lyrical tool. Mm-hmm. So something called lyrical deep diving. Very simply, a lot of pop lyrics are right up here at the surface. You've got surface, second layer, third layer, fourth layer, fifth layer. Imagine you're looking at the ocean. You've got right surface lyrics, like the most cliche 80s pop you've ever heard, right down through to level five, which is kind of Shakespearean. And I normally recommend people that are writing commercial music, levels 1 to 3. You can dip into level 4 if you're kind of like Bon Iver or you're trying to go for something really emotional. But even just that simple, often kind of offensively simple process, it just means you're conscious. And that's when I'm working with people and they go, I don't know why this bit doesn't work, this lyric, this section. And I go, well, where is it? Is it on the surface? Is that where you want it? Hey, James. So James Guido is the producer, literally out here in LA. So, hey, James, we're talking about songwriting. So you don't need to know this. You're amazing already. Hey, Rafi. But in terms of lyrical deep diving, again, I love to see people's faces when I bring out how simple these tools are, because often people can have an ego around music. I certainly do. That's why I started doing it. But I promise you, when I write songs, I go, I'm going to have to humble myself here. I've got one sentence, but I'm going to blast it. Do that through writing. How many lyrics can I fit in this area? Then we start to break it down. And then when I see, why is there not a contrast lyrically between this verse, this pre-chorus? Because I've ended up on the surface when really I want to be a bit deeper. Being deeper is just simply more of an emotive thing. How you feel something. You know, don't tell people, show them how it feels. I'm doing well, thank you. How you doing? That's a fan of the band. I used to play in a band as well for a long time. So that's another part of the story where I've learned all this stuff. And finally, I think it's kind of a union of the three. Honestly, I could sum up everything I do in terms of songwriting tools with one word, which is contrast. I came up with something called the golden triad. When Julian said three things, I kind of waffled on those first two because they're super important. But it ties it all together. If you imagine a triangle, a pyramid, one corner you have rhythm, one corner you have melody, one corner you have lyrics. And it's not necessarily to say you have to always have all three in play. Like, look at great rap songs. You know, they're just using rhythm and lyrics. And then when they bring in a chorus, they're bringing in often a very beautiful female voice. So you've got that jump in pitch, jump in texture, change of notes as well. Just imagine at any point in your song, if you're struggling, think of mapping it on the triad and going, right, what am I doing melodically, lyrically, rhythmically? Is it too simple rhythmically? Is there any way I can bring contrast in the next section? And instead of having one tool, you have like three options every time you change section. Yeah, okay, so this first bit is strong in these areas, but then you kind of move the slider and you create that contrast. So again, melodic maths, Max Martin's kind of been known to talk about. It's just contrast. And if you want to think about it, look, go to like the biggest hip hop songs of the late 90s, 2000s. What do we have? We have a male rapper, you know, devoid of melody normally or basic melody, going to a huge, like, you know, Eminem, Rihanna, Love the Way You Lie. It's like, so that's a really obvious way of looking at songwriting, but the thing I love is working with people yesterday, like Liana or Gabby, they're trying to do something a bit more subtle, like 4 or 5 sections. So then we need to employ these tools a bit differently. And a great example is a song called Take Your Time by Sam Hunt. He literally starts talking through to rapping, through to low singing, mid singing, high singing. His range isn't even that big, but just being aware of all the things you can do with your voice and even your production, Julia would know this as well, like particular peaks that you choose. Like maybe you add strings in the bridge because you've given everything you can before that. And then the strings are really beautiful. Love to work with me someday. That's very kind. Sure, we can make that happen. So those are my 5 tools, Julian. I cheated, but yeah.
I love it, man. That's really, really gold. And I think like what you said about the whole concept of contrast too, it is so important throughout the whole creative process, obviously in the production and even in the mixing stage. It's so important to keep these things into consideration. So I love what you said about that when it comes to songwriting too. That was a really, really helpful. Thanks so much for sharing those. Is there a healthy balance when it comes to being creative, you know, in that state, it flows out of you, you have this song and then pushing that further, maybe using some of those tools that you just discussed to make that even better versus being on a quantity side of things and just writing a lot to get into the habit of it, to get better at it. Is there a healthy balance for you where you say to your clients or to anyone that you talk to about songwriting, maybe try to write every day? Or is it more of like a quality thing where you're like, when you have this idea that you really like, just stick with it until you feel really good about it? What's the balance there?
Yeah, great question. Thank you, because I actually talked to Gabby about this yesterday. because often a lot of my clients, they'll work with me every week. So that's them writing every week, you know, mm-hmm. between 2 hours if they're OG Julian Honinger 2021 clients, 2022 clients, or newer people have a different offer. But they kind of do once a week. Some people have done twice a week to really learn. Even for me, some people come once a month, and you would not believe the progress that people once a month have. Often they'll come in, they'll be really intense, like Philippa Cooper in Australia. She'll come in and once a month work with me. But the stuff she does in between, again, not just in songwriting, she's really coming along to the point, which is quite funny. She hates her old stuff because she's moving along so well. Like, that's a great thing too. If you don't like your old music, well done. You're doing well. It's great. But think about like personal training. You know, if Julian was saying to me, hey, I want to be hitting a marathon in 6 month time. Okay, you don't want to be doing crazy amounts of training now, but you slowly want to build that up to your goal. So that's a kind of over 6 months you want to be writing once a week. Don't destroy yourself, especially if it's not your full-time job. And let's be real, not many people have a full-time job. But also, so think of it like training. Some people want to train 2-3 times a week. The same thing. If you're going to push yourself, like Julian said, you're using your emotions, using your story, using up a bit of yourself and your energy, give yourself a break, a day, 2 days to recover. And I think if you take that workout analogy, you guys are smart enough to know like how that can work. Because some people want to work out once a week, really lightweight, but have a really long-term goal. And they come up with amazing things. You know, so if you want to write an album in 6 months, you don't need to sprint. You need to get there. So it's very individual, but I would say don't write more than like 90 yeah. minutes of the creative kind of emotional process each time you do it. So Cal Newport has a book called, don't actually know, I've forgotten, but it talks about the brain cycles of the brain. It's normally behind me when I'm in France, so I can look around and I can look at it. But 90-minute cycle, 90 minutes to 2 hours is how our brains work. So why would it be different for creativity?
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought Julian was going to ask, you know, a little bit about how long should you push yourself to write? Probably about 90 minutes. So again, think of it like a workout. It's sort of the same thing. What are your goals? And be kind to yourself. When you've got there, when you've written your album, your EP, take a break. Hey, Spears. Spears have been sorting me out. Jack Onslow there. He's been sorting me out with Discounted Joe and the Juice, which I have in my stomach right now, Spears. Have a good day. Love you, mate. It's not easy. I think, again, it is goal-based. I want to reiterate that. Think of it like working out. And then when you've got to that point, say you're trying to work with Julian and you've got, often I work with clients before they go and work with Julian. You might do a session every week for a couple of weeks. Then your song is normally done because that's full time 90 minutes. Whether you're doing stuff on your own or not, like you don't need to spend 200 hours writing a song. You're going to overwrite it. You're going to destroy it and it won't say what you said anymore. And it might also not be relevant. To try and capture the essence like we talked about at the start, but then it makes the production process, songwriting process, creative process easy. And even if we talk about that creative funneling idea, you know, you start with songwriting, but then once you have the song, you then go into work with someone like Julian where you're then going, okay, cool. Well, what's the feeling of that? Do we need to change it? So your song has to be quite robust and withstand that process of writing, withstand that process of production, mix and mastering. So unfortunately, it's not a simple answer, but I would say if you're writing once a week, you're serious about it, if you're trying to put together an EP or a record, write once a week and make sure that you're, how do you avoid overwriting a song? Good question. How do you avoid overwriting a song? I would say if we took at the creative funnel, say each session was about 90 minutes and something I want to talk about earlier has been creating and then criticizing. So making sure when you're writing a song, you're not at the same time criticizing it. Eventually you will need to. So think, you know, 90 minutes creating something and take a pause, come back, criticize it, take a pause, come back, create it. And say you imagine doing that, create, criticize, create, finish, 5 sessions. So if you overwrite a song, you might be doing 10 to 15. And if it's not part of like a major record deal where you're kind of analyzing everything, there's a lot of money behind it and tour support behind it, you don't need to be breaking apart songs that much. Like, for example, today I'll be going and writing with Vasya in a studio with James, and that would be 6-7 hours. And we might do create, criticize, and have a product by the end of it. So overwriting it, yeah, perfectionism, I'll talk about that in a sec, but overwriting it, same with dough. Like if you guys make pasta or pizza, if you like over roll it, you ruin it. It doesn't end up in the product at the end. So yeah, perfectionism is always there when I write songs.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
We all know it as creatives, the perfectionism part for sure. I think it all comes down to what you said too. It's cycles, right? Not just in our brain and in every part of our lives. And I love what Ariadne said on Ariadne Mila, artist and singer-songwriter that we both worked with, I think, right, Jamie?
Yeah.
I love what you said about this last week where she was like, you know, when it comes to creativity and being consistent, everything is an ebb and flow of, like, with every part in our lives. And you are in the part where you feel really inspired, do it like maybe a couple times a week, right? And then, like you said, when you've written that EP, written that album, take some time away from it. Fill up that creativity tank in yourself and it'll all come much more naturally when the second cycle, the other cycle will start up again, right?
Yeah, it's beautifully said, because I think it's cool working with Julian, because I know he is. He's also a writer. He's a songwriter. He's capable of that. You understand those creative cycles. And yeah, well, I'll read that in a second, actually. That seems like a good question. Maybe I'll answer that. But yeah, working with someone like Julian's awesome, because hopefully, and Jay Rents as well, sometimes it's all three of us, he'd be on the call as well. He has to be an emotional process.
Yeah. Right?
It's difficult. Yeah. You give something. And as Julian said, another tool, inspiration meter. I've worked with people that have really negative, significant events in their lives, and they are overflowing to share some of that. But that might be 2-3 weeks of kind of like unbearable amounts of songs coming out of them. Then they rest and they settle. It's kind of like seasons as well. Be a good way to think about it. Seasons, and think about musicians that used to go on tour, particularly in bands that go on tour all this time and then have 3 months to write and record a record, you know, very intense, but they split it up. And the same for athletes, you know, if you take a week's preparation, even like Premier League football, it's kind of 2 to 3 trainings during the week, whether that's physically, mentally, also recovering from last week. Recovery's the biggest thing in the Premier League. It's amazing, you know, the teams they have. But think of it that way. It's preparation, building up to an event, competing, testing yourself, then recovering, learning, reprocessing, retraining. And as Julian said, that can be in a couple of weeks or it can be over a long period of time. So that's a really, really important one. I'm just going to read this. So Yoel said, I personally learned a lot of the tools and stuff, but I still can't really write a song by myself. And the only way to really learn is to write bad songs and eventually become better. 100%. Beautifully said. And I also think it's cool that you touch on the idea of tools, because again, earlier, there's like songs that go into the front of our brain logically, that we understand what they're saying. But like Julian said earlier, our favorite songs, they just enter somewhere through feeling. And I attempt to teach people from tools to feeling, because often you can have all this feeling, but you can be super frustrated, but you don't know how to turn that to song. So then you need to talk about contrast, all these things. But I really created this process retrospectively in order to kind of teach myself how I did a song. But when clients just come to me with great songs, I don't go, oh, did you do this? Did you do this? What structure do you follow? I'm like, no, this is a great song. We can work with this. So touching on that, yeah, just write a bunch of songs, I think. And that's how I started. I started when there was not even this technology. I couldn't even use a voice note, which ages me a bit, but I was like 13, 14. And I was writing on, I remember it, like a cork journal with a pencil on my guitar, playing terribly. Like, Julian's actually a good musician. I still rely on good producers like James and Julian, who was on earlier. And I, you know, I didn't have a voice recorder. So if I wanted to remember something, it had to be hooky. I had to write lyrics that were conducive to a rhythm that my brain would remember, so that when I played the chords again, all four of them that I knew, and I know about six now, so I progressed, it has to be hooky. So yeah, writing songs is important. But I would also say, Yoel, that, like, if that's how you say your name, sorry, you can't write a bad song if it's significant to you, if it's meaningful, if it's something you're going through, it's difficult. Objectively, yeah, it might not have 100 million streams, but like, your bad song is not 100 times worse than Dua Lipa's, Lainey's, Drake's best song. Not even close. You might find that it's only twice as good. But you have to see all these things that are happening after the process of the song. So Ed Sheeran talks about the dirty tap, which I think is one way of thinking about it, just write. Great. If anything I've learned in songwriting, there's two answers to everything. So I was working with Liana yesterday in the park. Like, she's got this beautiful songwriting, which Julian, again, of course, she emanates from you. Beautiful songwriting. And she would ask me questions and go, well, there's two answers. Same with Yoel, there's two answers. You can write a lot of song, or you can really sit with the tools, try and absorb them to the point where they're subconscious. And then when you write, they come out. But overall, I also started with learning songs, other people's songs on guitar, you know, ultimateguitar.com. That's the best way.
This was today's IG Live with Jamie. If you'd like to learn more about Jamie's songwriting work, all his socials are in the description of this episode. If you're looking for additional help on either production, mixing, or mastering for your next project, you can get in touch with me and my team through the links in the description as well. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful rest of your day creating healthy and stable music careers.